Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Whose house is it?
It's Ram's house.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Familia, we are almost done with the NFL Insider Series. And you know what? This has been fantastic bringing on mi buen amigo Laquan Jones. But before I get into the intro, if I could, I'd hug him through the screen. But I want to make sure you're following Familia FFB on YouTube. Make sure you're going in there, giving us that like, that subscribe. Por favor, do that. And also, Underdog Fantasy, use that promo code Familia23. Going to get matched. First $100, you're going to next $100, you're going to draft all the way to September 7th, all the way. And then you forget about your team. And then all of a sudden, in January, you find out where the money comes in. So again, Familia23 on underdogfantasy.com. So, Familia, doing something a little bit different on this one, because you know what, this is the Rams, and one of the people is my go-to when it comes to the Rams also happens to be someone I consider a very, very good friend and un buen amigo, a compadre, you know. And there are a lot of people I'm so incredibly proud of. This is one of them, because I mean, to see him uproot his life, come out to the West Coast. Now all of a sudden he's working for NFL Network, you know, just first from starting out creating fantasy content in his home studio. And now he's out here, he's rubbing elbows with Marcus Grant, Scott Hansen, all the, you know, all these people. Just yeah. Welcome in. Bienvenido, mi amigo. Laquan Jones.
Appreciate it.
Oh, mi amigo. Oh man. Let's just dive into it. The Rams. I mean, it was the Zenith was fantastic. The Super Bowl was great. We were going back and forth the night of the Super Bowl. I mean, it was fantastic. It was
a lot of tequila.
That was such a good night. Woo. And it's last year was, everything came to a grounding, came to an abrupt halt. Now we're picking up the pieces. It's, we're going to start with, at least we still got Sean McVay. Yes. So to do that, that was a question mark. Now we're looking at Matthew Stafford. I think a lot of stuff starts with number 9 right there. And, everything looks like he's okay. From what you've seen, camp reports and everything like that, and the video, does he look the same?
From reading the reports, man, I mean, this goes back to late June where we started hearing whispers that he's a lot healthier than he was going into camp last season, which is definitely a plus. I mean, last season there was a lot of questions, you know, a lot of people we're basically saying, you know, he's going to get hurt the first couple of weeks of the season because this O-line, it was just falling apart. And then eventually he faced injury. I mean, we kind of seen it coming with this O-line falling apart, but I'm actually happy where Matthew Stafford is now going to the first training camp, seeing him throw the ball around, man. He's really slinging it like there's no limitation on that elbow. And I feel like, you know, Sean McVay is confident in having Matthew Stafford be a full blast going into this season, then I'm just going to take his words as trust. And to be honest, like we're doing the eye test, Matthew Stafford looks healthy, looks good, and it looks like this offense should be back to somewhat of what we know it was in 2021.
And you know what? And that's the thing. I feel like we're getting Matthew Stafford on sale right now in drafts. Absolutely. I'm going in and I'm calling him up right now. I mean, he's going way late. He's going pick 158 on Underdog. I mean, that's major sale. This is a man who 2 years ago, you know, threw for almost 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns. And I mean, he's not going to give you that rushing upside, but I still really like, as long as they could keep him upright.
Yeah.
Still like that.
Like, he's such a steal right now in drafts. Cause we have to remember, man, every player's a risk when they come back from injury. And I feel like you got to roll the dice on Matthew Stafford because you know what you've been getting for these past X amount of years he's been in the league. He's going to play hurt. He's going to be a baller. He's going to give you all you got on the field. And that's the kind of guy you want to have. And decision-making as well. That football IQ is very high. That's why Sean McVay was able to open the playbook up after Jared Goff was shipped to Detroit. So you look at this offense in 2021, you can only hope that we just get a glimpse of that. Because that offense, it was like on 1,000. If we can get like 900% of that 1,000%, I'm okay with that. Because obviously new pieces, new faces, you know, you got guys like Cooper Kupp right now, a little banged up. I'm not too worried. He's still my first one off the board, and I'm going to put this out there. He's my wide receiver one for the 2023 fantasy football season. And I can't see that not happening if we have a healthy Matthew Stafford and a healthy Cooper Kupp, man. And Sean McVay's still the head coach. So what are we really talking about right now?
And that's the thing. When you look at guys who can – let's just jump right into Cooper Kupp, and we'll get into the receivers. When you look at guys who are going to get 10 plus targets a game, I mean, yeah. Cooper Kupp's in that inner circle right now. I mean, mm-hmm. it's Justin Jefferson, maybe Ja'Marr Chase. I'm projecting that Ja'Marr Chase will be one of those guys. Yeah. Cooper Kupp, maybe Tyreek Hill, maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I mean, maybe very Devontae.
Yeah. But
I think you can write down Cooper Kupp being healthy, needing to be healthy. Now that's the one thing. What's your concern level on the hamstring?
Hamstrings usually linger, so I feel as though it might be a slow start for Cooper Kupp. Give him about a month in, and then we'll really start seeing if he's healthy, if he's not. And I think with the hamstring, it's kind of good that it happened this early rather than closer to week one after all the drafts are done. So it's kind of like, all right, let's get this out of the way. We already had question marks about your health. If this hamstring isn't as bad as they're reporting, then okay, we should be fine, good to go.
Yeah, and that's the one thing you talked about, it lingering. I just did a show with Dr. Edwin Porras, our buen amigo, and he talked about the fact that there's about a 33% recurrence rate with hamstrings. So you got to get that thing right. Just they got to get that thing right.
A lot of rest and all that stuff. Don't try to force your way back on the field because honestly, man, we have, 5 weeks until week one? I think he sits all the preseason. He gets rest up because, again, this happened about a week ago, you know, almost a week ago. And I feel like now he's on the road for recovery. I mean, I really hope that we could see him out there week one 100%. But if not, man, sit out week one. You know, I'd rather you sit out week one so we can have you for the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, beyond, let's project that Cooper Kupp is healthy. But who is the next target? Behind him, you just tweeted out something. I know that Van Jefferson could be a possibility. You did a great video, you know, tweeted out this video on Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Maybe Tyler Higbee could be in there. Who do you see being or Tutu Atwell could be a factor in the passing game. Where do you see like the next man up on that?
Next man up, I mean, the obvious choice here is Van Jefferson, man. I mean, you got a guy that put up 800 yards in 2021 with Robert Woods in the building, got Odell Beckham there as well, Tyler Higbee, a lot of mouths to feed with Cooper Kupp. And I feel as though he can step up if he's healthy. He's another guy that you have to worry about with health because coming into last season, he was banged up. He got surgery, and then he missed a couple games. I think he missed 6 games, and he never got that chance to get into rhythm and get into, you know, the way he's usually playing. But now he's healthy this year. Stay healthy this year, fingers crossed, but he would definitely be my number one if I had to put my money on it for him to step up to be the guy that Matthew Stafford will lean on. I mean, we see the highlights in the camp. We see Van Jefferson taking the top off. We see him making all types of big plays downfield, and that's just who he is. He's a big playmaker, and I feel as though you got guys like Tutu Atwell that are leaning, but I think he's more of a special teams. Puka Nacua gets me excited every time I see highlights of him, man, because listen, I don't think people are really understanding and registering, like, he's wearing the Robert Woods jersey. He's very versatile. The jet sweeps, the contested catches. And that's one thing that Robert Woods didn't have that good of was the contested catch. Now you put that on Puka Nacua, put him on the field. It's going to be hard to take him off. So he would be my number two guy to step up in light of Cooper Kupp not being healthy week one, et cetera. And I feel like this wide receiver room has depth. And if I really want to get into it, you got DeMarcus Robinson and Tyler Johnson. Remember those two names. They might pop up here and there. Tyler Johnson's been bouncing around since the Bucs, but man, his time with Tom Brady, man, you saw him actually develop in the games where Mike Evans was banged up or Antonio Brown wasn't there. Tyler Johnson was able to step up a couple games and make some plays. He just needs time to get into rhythm. So I think here with Sean McVay, he'll be able to pick his brain, make him a little bit more, you know, wide receiver aware where he needs to be and routes ran, et cetera, like that. And DeMarcus Robinson's been making noise quietly that nobody really wants to talk about because it's the Cooper Kupp show. But, man, this is probably the most depth we had at wide receiver in a very, very long time. And I think Sean McVay, he's basically learning from his mistakes as the years go on. And I love Sean McVay so much, man. And you got to be excited for this season just knowing that he's pumped up, knowing that he's motivated, knowing that Super Bowl is in his picture. And that's definitely something that gets me as a fan and you as a fan riled up like, yo, let's go. 2023, we're going back to the ship, man.
And, you know, and one of the things that actually gets me excited that's very underrated about the Rams is that they've had a reputation for being good teachers.
Yes.
You know, being able to be on both sides of the ball. So that to me, I really love, that's what gets me excited about Puka. It gets me, you know, gets me start thinking that, you know, maybe Tutu Atwell could start contributing a little bit more this year. Yeah. I wanted to ask about Tyler Higbee though. 108 targets last year, and you know, he's quietly one of those guys. In fact, our buen amigo Andrew Cooper, who usually doesn't, he's told me he doesn't usually like Tyler Higbee, but he's in on him this year. Are you? Is he a bargain this year?
Definitely a bargain for some rosters, but hear me out, man. I just feel as though, as a Rams fan, I have to be truthful. I can't be biased. I just don't feel as though on a fantasy aspect of things, week to week, you can rely on him to be a tight end one for you. Because there's a lot of games where he disappears. There's a lot of games where he has zero red zone presence. And it's kind of like if you have a tight end that you know should be getting X amount of targets and doesn't get X amount of targets, you kind of burn yourself in those lineups. So he's one of those players that, yeah, you'll draft him, but you have to have a backup plan, or he is your backup plan to your tight end one. I don't ever want to advise or tell or promote people to draft him as your tight end one because there's going to be a lot of angry managers out there. And I just don't think the offense is set up for him to be like this guy if Cooper Kupp goes out or if, you know, Van Jefferson goes out. Then obviously the 2019 five-game streak that everybody keeps bringing up where he had like 100 yards. You got to understand the situation there. Todd Gurley is broken. Brandon Cooks returning from injury. Cooper Kupp was hurt. Who else is going to step up? An underdeveloped Josh Reynolds. I mean, those little stints, they happen, yes. But when everybody's healthy and on the field, Tyler Higbee is not the first or second option to be looked at.
Oh, man. Well, I think one guy that we know is going to be the first option. We're circling back to the running game, yeah. Which, you know, I think we both know, and true Ram fans know that the running game is very important in the Sean McVay offense.
Yes.
Cam Akers, I mean, what a roller coaster ride last year, but he helped people win leagues last year.
Yes, he did.
Coming in and delivering during the fantasy playoffs, knocked me out of one of my favorite leagues. You're now looking at this season, you know, the competition behind him is Kyren Williams, maybe Zach Evans. I mean, are we shaping up to see Cam Akers just get fed this year?
Yes, in both ways, through the air and on the ground. I feel like this season there's more understanding of the roles. There's more understanding of what the direction Sean McVay wants to go with the running game. I mean, you look at last season, he kind of went into June saying, I basically have two starting running backs, Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers. I mean, honestly, you kind of understand why he said that, being that Akers wasn't 100% healthy yet. And, you know, Akers kind of took that negatively, and then we saw how that panned out. With this season, we're going into damn near almost after draft. He's saying, oh, Cam Akers is the focal point. He's good. He's ready to go. He's fresh. Cam Akers is working out. He's putting on weight. He's looking like he can take on that role to handle at least 65 to 70% of that workload. And listen, wheels up, man. I'm all in on Cam Akers this year. Last year, I was campaigning, looking like a bad Rams fan, saying don't draft him when ultimately he didn't return on that ADP in the first three, four rounds. But I love how the way he finished. He finished with attitude, and Sean McVay got pumped up. He was happy to see that Cam Akers was back to his original self. And also, you got to look at the offensive coordinator they brought in. Cam Akers is going to see a lot of targets. Mike LaFleur. Yeah, if you follow
Aaron Jones,
Breece Hall, Michael Carter. There's games last year where you see Michael Carter with 5 targets and Breece Hall have 8 targets, and they're both getting involved in that passing game. So put a stash on Kyren Williams. He's great at pass blocking. Definitely going to be on third down. Listen, Cam Akers might see the most targets he's ever seen in his career, and it's like you got to buy into this because every single team that Mike LaFleur had his hand in the offense, running back unit together as a whole, didn't see less than 7 targets a game. And that's crazy to even think about what's happening with this offense that's dealing with some injuries with Cooper Kupp and stuff like that. But I really feel as though my dark horse to finish 2nd on the team is Cam Akers and targets.
Jot it down. Wow.
Dark horse.
We have seen running backs get fed. I mean, Todd Gurley, when he had his RB1 seasons, was absolutely fantastic. So, yes.
And we might see a lot of screens. We might bring back the 2017 screens that we saw.
Oh, you know, those are so good.
Those are so good, right?
Yeah. So good. Get them in space and just take off. What? Oh, yes, yes. So, you know, we hinted a little bit at it before. Did they, you know – looking at the offensive line, they definitely brought in a lot of parts. Steve Avila.
Yeah.
Is this going to be mix and match? Because if they don't protect Matthew Stafford, this is going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one. And what I like from the reports is that the O-line shifting around. They're trying to still figure out pieces of where guys really fit. Last year, we kind of just had to set guys there and they kind of just went into it and they didn't really address the need at depth, and then we kind of found out why we need depth at certain positions to protect the quarterback. So that was one of those situations where, again, Sean McVay learns from mistakes. Go ahead and get that top 2, top 3 prospect at the offensive line. Go ahead and go and look at free agency. At least do some like little scoping and scouting and see if you could bring some guys in. And that's definitely something you got to love and admire through Sean McVay. He's going to take his L's, but he's going to learn those L's, and those L's are going to turn into lessons.
No, fantastic. Well, on the other side of the ball, here's the way I'm kind of looking at it. If Aaron Donald doesn't get home, or at least like disrupt the quarterback,
yeah,
it could be a problem because it's a young secondary.
I'm glad you're touching on it and saying it's a young secondary, and I feel as though we might struggle on the back end of giving up good big plays because Jalen Ramsey's presence was felt last season, even with a bad season. Losing him, I'm not too sure what this looks like. I mean, you got guys that are young back there that could fly around, make the plays. I mean, we talk about Kobe Durant, and I feel like you got other guys there. Jonathan Johnson is back, you know, which is great. We lost 2 safeties, man. That is something that was definitely going to be felt. So thank God John Johnson making the return back home. And, you know, losing Nick Scott, losing Taylor Rapp, those are key pieces and guys that were the thumpers, guys that were flying over the field as well. But with them flying over the field, they also had the chemistry. They had the knowledge. You know what I mean? These young guys, man, I'm praying and hoping that they make the right decisions and they show up and show out, you know, week 1.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the other thing, I mean, talking about the teachers, I mean, Raheem Morris knows how to teach, and the position coaches are going to have to they're going to have to grow those guys up. So that's a tough one. I'm actually kind of looking at, I think there's going to be a lot of shootouts this year. Just because of that, I think it's going to be, you know, and they might even, I'm going to see how they shape up against the run too, because it could be, they could be getting attacked both ways, which, hey, you know what? More fantasy points.
Right? more fantasy points, but you know, it's going to hurt my soul to be watching these shootouts. Like, yo, can we stop one ball? That's it. Like, get a turnover somehow, man. But you know, I'm hopeful, man. I'm a diehard Rams fan, and I believe in Sean McVay and the coaching staff there, and Morris as well. And like, you got guys like Ernest Jones, man. He's a special player on that defense as well. And you got Byron Young as a rookie. He's coming in. He's making noise in camp. So I'm hopeful on that aspect that we'll be able to do the things that we do best, and that's getting to the quarterback, man.
Oh, fantastic. And well, I mean, well, this has been fantastic. But, you know, got to give a shout out to the Scott Fishbowl. I mean, we did the LA live draft. We finished the draft about, I don't know, a little more than a week, 10 days ago. Yeah. Overall feelings?
I'm going to win. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say. I mean, I have the best team in the league. I mean, come on. I got Cooper Kupp and Stephon Diggs. What are we doing? Why did I get that?
Oh man. Yes. Yeah, that was good living. That was good living there. So,
yeah.
Now you were, cause you picked at the back half of the back.
Yeah.
Half of the round,
I was at 11. Yep.
Yeah. So that was that, but yeah, you were able to do okay.
Yeah.
We were opposite, almost opposite ends. I was at the one and you were at the 11. So we got to actually,
thank God. I was getting sniped all day, man. That was nerve wracking with four total Rams fans in one draft. Come on.
What do you expect? That was a tough one. And see, and getting our amigo Troy coming out from Florida to visit.
Might as well move out here. I keep telling him, just move out here, man.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
There's the same, you know, you could just move the kids and the family and get the job over here. What's different, man?
We'll work on him this week. We'll work on him in Canton. So we'll
we got to pitch it.
Oh, mi amigo, please feel free. Pump anything you got coming up.
Oh man, I got tons of content coming out, man. Especially you can catch me on NFL Fantasy starting in 2 weeks. You know, I'll be pumping out some video content there on the NFL Fantasy app. And then I actually got a new gig at Rotoballer where you should be seeing some shorts and some long-term videos on YouTube. So make sure you guys check them out at rotoballer.com. And look, that's all I'm really working on, man. I'm enjoying the sun, enjoying the beaches, you know. And look, man, LA, I love you.
Oh man, and LA loves you too, my brother. You found good tacos, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Okay, I'm gonna get you some recommends.
I never had Mexican food until I moved here, though, to be honest. So right now I'm kind of like still fishing out what's good, what's not. So you know,
okay. Okay. I'll get you some places down
there. Yeah, get me right, man. Oh, I've been going to some bad spots. Some really, really questionable spots. You know, Yelp is not truthful all the time. Let's just say that.
No, just no hard shell tacos. You know, if they, yeah, no, none of the yellow corn hard shell tacos. No,
that's Taco Bell, right?
Yeah. Oh, mi amigo. Thank you. Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Love this. Again, one more time, familia, make sure you're following us on YouTube. Give us that like button. Hit that subscriber button. This NFL, if this is the first Ram fans, if this is the first episode you've seen, go back. We're gonna have 32 of these all on the same playlist. You can go back and get your great fantasy content on all of this. Everybody really, really knocked it out of the park for us on this one. And lastly, go to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. You're gonna get matched that first $100. Keep drafting. Again, I'm Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. You can find everywhere else. Familia FFB. Make sure to check out some of that content I got coming out on Yahoo, Fantasy Pros, all over the place. The weekly column on Yahoo has been just wonderful. So thank you all for watching today. Thank you for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.